You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter.
You can also call or text us from the free Civic Media app, as well as leave a voice note.
Yep, that's a new feature on our app.
So many ways to get in touch with us. Even if you don't like us, you can leave a voice note and let us know we live rent-free in your head.
If that's good, if that makes you feel good, absolutely. We are all about positivity. We're all about positivity here on Matinair on Air. Another good reason to have the Civic Media app.
Oh, why?
Today is Free Ticket Friday.
We're at Friday already.
We are at Friday. Free Ticket Friday coming up in just a little bit. Mm-hmm. We will give you the keyword for our show, and you will have until 11 o'clock to text in this keyword via the Civic Media app in order to pick up a 4-pack of tickets to see our winning Milwaukee Brewers. The game is this Sunday. They're hosting the Nationals.
Yeah, we are hosting the Nationals. It is this Sunday. Wait, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was looking at the wrong thing there. It's going to be this is going to be a great weekend. The Brewers are doing fantastic. We were talking about it yesterday. They are now officially 2 games out of first place, but that's really come a long way in just even the past month, and you guys are going to have a great time. If you win tickets and you go to the game, we want you to take some pictures and text us through the Civic Media.
We'd love to see them.
Yeah, we'd love to see the fun you're having.
See you having a good time.
In those comfy, comfy club level seats.
They are cushy.
Cushy. There's cushy private seats. Bathrooms and carpeting.
It's fabulous. So we will have that keyword for you coming up in just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then again, you have until 11 o'clock, and this is going on all day. So your next chance with a different keyword will be coming up with Tom Hartman from 11 to 2, Todd Allbutt 2 to 4, and then Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6 p.m. Free Ticket Fridays is underway today on Civic Media. Wanted to give folks a reminder that the funeral services for Milwaukee Police Officer Kendall Corder, will be happening today. There's visitation. He was killed in the line of duty. Officer Corder's funeral visitation begins at 11 o'clock this morning at Elmbrook Church, and then the internment will be at Wisconsin Memorial Park. The funeral service will begin today at 2:30, and then again, Officer Corder will be interred at Wisconsin Memorial Park. Wanted to let you know about that, and our thoughts go out to his family and everyone in law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Lots of things going on.
Yes, indeed.
Dan Schaefer is going to be here after 9:30, so we're going to have an extra half an hour of recombobulating.
There's so much recombobulate. There's always so much news, so he's doing double duty today.
He is.
Yeah.
So Dan will be here about 9:30. We will wrap up the show, as we always do, with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it's the Blueberry Hill edition. Stay tuned for that. Wanted to start off with talking about this from News 8000, News 8 Now, Noah Hodges with the byline. Protesters gather outside Congressman Derek Van Orden's office over Trump's spending bill. This happened yesterday. La Crosse residents, that is Derek Van Orden's district, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, he's not going to be there. La Crosse residents demonstrated outside of Congressman Derek Van Orden's office yesterday, voicing their opposition to the Trump spending bill and challenging Van Orden's claims about health care funding. Demonstrators say Van Orden misled constituents about what the bill is going to do to Badger Care, Medicaid. They say Van Orden's assertion that the legislature is going to secure billions for Badger Care was false and warned that proposed Medicare cuts will harm thousands of Wisconsin residents. And there have been expert after expert after expert, people who are experts on nursing homes, people who are experts on economics. I mean, all kinds of experts have all kind of weighed in and said the same thing. that the administration doesn't want us to hear.
Yes.
Essentially, that this is going to, yes, have major, major impacts on people in the Medicare system. It just is.
Medicare, Medicaid, and what's that one? SNAP.
SNAP.
The one, and I'm going to, until he's out of office or he changes his mind and or apologizes for his vote, let us never forget the fact that he said on record in a room into a microphone with to an expert's face.
Melting down.
With a good old fashioned Derek Van Orten yelling fit that SNAP would not go down one nickel, quote, yeah. One nickel, he said. And he said that from the point of view of a man who at one point as a child had those benefits back when it was called things like government cheese and food stamps, things like that.
Right.
But he was a poor kid and he made it very clear that SNAP would not go down. Well, he is wrong. And was he misled? I don't know. Is he lying? Yes, he is.
Well, and I think it's important that folks realize too, and I don't know that we've mentioned this enough, but the cuts and the changes to Medicaid and SNAP aren't going to happen until after 2027.
2027?
Yeah.
Or 2027?
No, they're going to go let the midterms happen.
Yes, yeah.
The midterms will happen next November.
So,
and then the cuts kick in 2027. So they're kind of playing it like if the Republicans are ousted in power at that time, then when all this pain starts under a Democratic administration, they go, yeah, it's his fault.
Yeah, I mean,
it's his fault.
I mean, when the stock market crashed a couple months ago, it was Biden's fault. Every time something bad happens, it's Biden's fault. It's the Democrats' fault. It's always about pointing fingers, placing blame. It's never their responsibility. Well, your name is on a yes vote, Derek Van Orten. The people made their opinions very clear about you yesterday. And then we've been making our opinions very clear about it for a while. And if you look at his Twitter, it's full of nothing but denial and just...
And insults.
The insults of a man who clearly does not know how to exist in polite society. He is a bully. He is a traitor. He is a liar, and he deserves everything he gets when it comes to political, whether he's voted out of office or people protesting at his house. He made this assertion, SNAP wouldn't go down a nickel, and he was a liar because he voted for it. He voted for it three times. He voted for the budget blueprint. He voted for the original budget, and then when it came back from the Senate, he voted for it again. So everything he gets, he's due because he lied to the people.
Van Orten responding to the demonstrators. And again, this article does not say if he was there. I highly doubt
I looked for something on Twitter and I didn't.
Pretty sure he wasn't there. DVO says the Democrats just don't want to admit that Republicans saved Badger Care. The one big, beautiful bill allowed Wisconsin to have a 6% provider tax rate, giving $1 billion additional dollars to Badger Care. There's also a $500 million plus up for rural health care. I find it curious, then, if this is all so wonderful, Darren, why didn't you make any appearances in your district to explain all the benefits of this bill to the people who voted for you?
And why is there a record of you calling Governor Evers telling him that they have to save rural hospitals? If all of this is in the budget bill, then what are we even worried about? I mean, I'm dead serious. I agree, Jane. If there was something like, if there were these plans that were going to save... access to healthcare in the state, especially in our rural western areas.
People would be celebrating.
People would be celebrating. You should be out there talking to people, do a town hall. There's ways of doing this, but now you're saying this?
Well, yeah.
I don't know. He's a liar, so I think he might be lying.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. If you would like to join the conversation, Gene from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Gene. Thanks for joining us. What do you want to say about this?
Hurrah for you guys. I have never seen such a liar in my life in my district. And I'll tell you another thing, if he don't think he's lying, then he's psychotic and he needs to get the heck out of that position, because he takes right after our president. He was advertising this beautiful bill. I don't remember the name of the people that were paying big bucks to put it on our television and on the internet about how wonderful this bill was and how it wasn't going to hurt us and all the great things it was going to do. People need to wake up on this one, because this guy never should be in an office in the United States of America, representing the people making these important decisions, as should never be Donald J. Trump. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. And you guys have a great weekend. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks a lot, Gene. Bye, really Gene. Appreciate it.
Yeah. I want to know more about this 6% provider tax rate and the $1 billion to Medicaid. Last time I checked, Jane, Robin Voss doesn't take money from the government for Badger Care. We've been denying it since Obamacare. We've been denying it for expanding Medicaid for new moms. So it's $1 billion. Okay. Show it to me and then show me the version of Robin Voss that says, yeah, we'll take it.
It's interesting, too, and I think what is really starting to turn the tide among some as far as how they look at this administration is this whole Jeff Epstein thing.
Yeah.
The Jeffrey Epstein and all Pam Bondi and Kash Patel and Dan Bongino and all those guys spent a couple of years promising their base that the Epstein client list was going to be released. And, of course, no one was going to be on that list except for the Clintons and other Democrats and apparently Tom Hanks and other journalists that they don't like. So they have been promising them and building them up to this point that this is the thing that's going to indict everybody. We're going to have indictments. We're going to put them, send them in jail, and we get to watch them get perp walked. And now there's no list. Poof. Just doesn't exist.
There was never a list.
You remember the list we told you about? Remember the list that we handed to all those podcasters right before they walked out the door of the White House and that they held up in front of the media you didn't see that.
No.
And those binders were empty anyway.
Jane, it was what all happened there is what experts called a lie because they're liars. They're nothing but liars.
Yeah. This is not sitting well.
No.
This whole Epstein and the non-existent Epstein files, now that people had been promised for a couple of years, they're not happy about this.
No.
And I caught this clip from a podcaster. I think, Galvin, we have time to play this clip, don't we? And then we'll continue on the other side. Let's play this clip from
Andrew Schultz.
Andrew Schultz. I was going to call him something else. But yes, let's play that clip, please, Galvin.
People that like, they'll DM me and be like, you see what your boy doing? You voted for this. I'm like, I voted for none of this. He's doing the exact opposite of everything I voted for. Yeah. I want him to stop the wars. He's funding them. I want him to shrink spending, increasing it. It's like everything that he said he's going to do except sending immigrants back.
They seem to be kind of implying that Trump lied.
Well, also, to them. I mean, I'm a comedian. I'm a stand-up comedian, and he's a stand-up comedian. And one thing I can tell you that most of us aren't smart, and he is very unsmart because he doesn't know how elections work. You don't get to cherry pick what you vote for with a candidate. It is a zero-sum game. You vote for the person, you get the policies.
All of the policies.
The policies in which he said he was going to do.
Since we're talking about fiscal responsibility, when we return, Russ Vogt has some really detailed explanation about why it's a good thing for us to redo the Rose Garden again at taxpayer expense. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Here we go.
Yeah.
Get your phone.
Oh my gosh.
Open it up.
Okay, I am.
Go to the Civic Media app.
I am.
Text in the word SCORE.
I'll text the word SCORE in. Okay,
quick. SCORE. Text in the word SCORE. SCORE. You have until 11 o'clock to text in the word SCORE via the Civic Media app, and you are in the running for a four-pack of Brewers Club-level tickets for this Sunday's game as the crew hosts Washington. Sunday's supposed to be a really beautiful day.
It won't let me text to win, Jane.
That's because you work here.
Well, this is...
And you can't win.
I never get to win.
But if you're listening, you can win.
Yeah.
Text in the word SCORE, S-C-O-R-E. It's our free Ticket Fridays. You can text that in again until 11 o'clock this morning. Tom Hartman will have a different word for you after 11 o'clock. Todd Alba with a new word from 2 to 4. And then Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. The key word to text in right now is SCORE, S-C-O-R-E. Just like Don in Waukesha, and Chuck in East Troy, and Jesse in Dane County, and Kathleen in Libertyville. I love seeing this. Anne Marie in Brookfield, and Dennis in Milwaukee. Good luck. Keep texting the word SCORE, S-C-O-R-E. Free Ticket Fridays. Today we are playing for a four-pack of club-level tickets for this Sunday's game as the Brewers host Washington. Good luck. And you've got till 11 o'clock.
Good luck to you guys. I don't need to do anything.
And if you don't have the Civic Media app, please get it. It's a really great app. Not going to cost you anything. It's absolutely free. And you can curate the news you want to get. Yep. You can listen to all of our stations across the network. Civic Media has a whole bunch of wonderful music stations.
Yes, we do indeed.
If you want to, you know, check out some of our music stations, you can access all of our stations via the Civic Media app. It's pretty cool.
So far, we've had people contact us to let us know they're listening to us in places like New Zealand, Vienna. I think Milan was one of them. But yeah, you can take us all over the world.
Absolutely.
And listen to us anytime, anywhere, because we know you're busy. So get the Civic Media app and make it simple.
Take us with you. And good luck. Before we went to the break, we were talking about protesters in front of Derek Van Orden's office in La Crosse yesterday, not happy about the budget bill and the anticipated cuts that will be coming. And there was an interesting exchange between Russell Vogt.
Oh, him.
The author of Project 2025 and now the leader of the Office of Management and Budget. He was asked by a reporter yesterday, they're all about fiscal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
They're all about pinching pennies, you know. He was asked about the second now revamp of the Rose Garden, because Melania has not done wrecking it from the first time around, and the cost of that free plane that we just got from Qatar, that he just got from Qatar, that's going to cost like $1 billion to revamp it.
That
we get to pay for. That taxpayers get to pay for.
That Donald Trump might not even fly in.
Yeah, right, right. So Russell Vogt was asked about the expense for the second redo of the Rose Garden and also this free plane. Calvin, let's play Mr. Vogt's response, please.
We have a lot of administration priorities, and I hope what you've learned from our, you know, first term, this term, like we need to spend in areas. We need ships. We need aircraft. Yep. We need a new presidential plane that's been in the works and been delayed for a long time because contractors are behind. And so that doesn't mean we don't spend where we need to spend.
Yeah.
But we've always offered up a fiscal picture that gets to balance, that reduces the deficit, that deals with our debt. And we're doing it on a host of ways in this term. And so that won't change.
Okay,
so
that's a lot of words. We've heard Russell Vogt saying many, many words and essentially not answering the question about why, when we're going to kick kids off of SNAP, when we're going to kick elderly people out of nursing homes, why it's a good idea for us to spend taxpayer money to concrete the Rose Garden is essentially he wants to put a patio in there and pay for his plane upgrade.
Yeah. We pay for that. I mean, yes, our tax money pays for the creation, upgrades, and any repairs being done to Air Force One. But this is what I would call an extraneous expense. Not purchase. We got it for free, which doesn't seem shady at all.
No, not at all. No questions involved with that at all.
But, I mean, this it throws the emoluments clause right out the window, and it goes to the fact that this is just another thing that he and the Republicans get to do. And there's there's questions. There are questions. There is outrage. But then the news cycle is such where it's exhausting, move on to something else.
Because it gets surpassed by something else. Everybody's going, what?
Yeah. So, and I was trying to find the cost of the original Rose Garden
When she took out all the flowers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was actually funded by the Trump campaign.
Oh.
So there's no record that's available.
Of how much it costs.
Yeah.
And, oh, interesting.
And some people said it cost a couple hundred grand. Some people said 60 million. I'm going to say it cost money, and that money was not paid for. And because it wasn't paid for by the people, we don't know. So we don't know how much they might spend for this one. I just have a feeling, just a thought, just a gut instinct. I have an intuition. Isn't that
yes,
what
Mike? Yes, you have an gut intuition.
Yeah. That his campaign ain't paying for this one, though, this time.
I think you might be right.
Yeah.
We have news coming up. Dan Schaefer, an extended time to recombobulate. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is The Vast, statewide, countrywide, take us global on the app, Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Free Ticket Friday, so grab your phone, open up the Civic Media app, and text in the word SCORE. You can't.
You can't.
S-C-O-R-E. Text in the word SCORE. S-C-O-R-E. And you're in the running for a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets for this Sunday. Crew hosting Washington. So text in the word SCORE. Right now, you have until 11 o'clock this morning. S-C-O-R-E. Text in the word SCORE. And you are in the running for this Sunday's four-pack of club level tickets to see the crew host the Nationals. You can be in the running just like Steve and Hayward, Luann and Wondrous, John and Oshkosh, Kimberly and Wauwatosa. Keep them coming in, you guys. Good luck. And then your next chance with a new word after 11 o'clock with Tom Hartman.
I just love that the fact that there's a place in Wisconsin called Wondrous.
We may have to go there next.
I agree. It just sounds like a place that a magical elf had created. Like, I'm in Wanderoos.
We'll do that next.
There you go.
After next week's road trip, because Butternut's my spot. So we'll put Wanderoos on the list of our new favorite places we have never been.
There you go.
All right. Keep them coming. And good luck. Free Ticket Fridays all day today. Tom Hartman, 11 to 2. Check out Todd then with a new word from 2 to 4. And Maggie Dawn from 426. He is here early to do some recombobulating, and we're grateful to have him in studio with us. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and the author of the multi award-winning Recombobulation Area. Mm-hmm. So let's start with the budget aftermath.
Budget aftermath. Everything happened so quickly last week.
It really did.
That I feel like we need to still do some recombobulating a week later on the budget, because we just went right into 4th of July weekend. Mm-hmm. People forgot about things, and with how quickly so much happened, you know, there was nothing happening publicly, at least for a really long time in the budget process. And all of a sudden, Tuesday, July 1st, they announce a deal. And Wednesday, they're voting on it. And 1:30 a.m.
Yeah.
on Thursday, early in the morning, Tony Evers is there at the Capitol signing the budget. So
because really,
we've been on the air talking about this for weeks beforehand, and it was like, what are they going to do?
The last word was kind of like, everybody's just going to walk away and nothing's going to happen. And we're going to revert to the old budget.
Right.
And on top of all of that, when it happened, the word from Republicans and the word from Tony Evers was this is a good thing. We've got some stuff here. There's something to work with. It's not perfect, but it's a good start.
Bipartisan compromise.
Yep. And then other people start talking, and because the first day we're like, this is great. And then we start reading tweets. We're like, oh no, is this not great? And then we start hearing from Trisha Peterson, Corinne Hendrickson. And it was like multiple whiplashes. Cause at first it's like, oh, the budget's done. It's signed. Okay. It's good. That's great. It's bad. Oh no. What? Tell me how to think.
Well, nobody is the clear winner in this. Neither side can say, yep, we got everything we wanted, because that isn't what happens.
That's the nature of compromise, the realities of divided government. You know, we have a Democratic governor and a Republican-controlled legislature, and not everybody's going to be happy with every deal that is struck. But I think, you know, it's just interesting. There's a number of interesting elements of it. One that's kind of like returned to the news cycle this week with our pal Derek Van Orden taking credit for... the deep breathing, Greg, to get through any Derek Van Orden talk. You know, saying that he is the reason that Wisconsin is so like they were racing to meet this deadline.
Yeah.
So because they needed to get this done before the federal budget got passed.
Right. Okay. So they needed to meet. They make this change for the hospital assessment reimbursement rate that applied to Medicaid. It's a complicated thing. And we can get into the weeds on that maybe in a different time. But
right.
They needed to meet this deadline in order to get about $1 billion that would go to largely help hospitals in Wisconsin. Never mind that they've ignored the Republican-controlled legislature has ignored expanding Medicaid for the very same under the very same logic path for a decade.
Well, and isn't the Joint Finance Committee still sitting on that hospital money?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we were talking about earlier. He made this. He has this quote against the protesters saying the Democrats just don't want to admit that Republicans saved Badger Care. The one big beautiful bill allowed Wisconsin to have a 6% provider rate tax rate, giving $1 billion additional dollars to Badger Care. There is also $500 million plus up for rural health care, which that sentence sounds wonderful. Coming out of Derek Van Orden makes me go, what?
Where's the catch?
Why didn't you talk about this before?
Well, and here's the thing with this, though. Like, Van Orden is obviously being ridiculous with what he's saying about the budget here.
And his giving himself credit.
And giving himself credit. Yeah. Maybe he was being advantageous in that final stretch there, sending this letter and making it public, saying that, like, oh, I had some sort of role in this. But they were what was happening was that they were trying to meet this deadline because the federal bill was going to be cutting Medicaid
and not allowing
for states to make these types of changes. What I don't get about this, though, is like, of course, you can have this back and forth that's happening this week between the governor's office and Derek Van Orden and like blah, 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 blah. Who said whatever? And
right.
Van Orden obviously being ridiculous, again, to be clear. But at the same time, I kind of question why this issue didn't really emerge publicly at all until the deal was struck. And it was like, OK, we got to do it. We got to get it signed now. We got to get it signed in the middle of the night. We can't wait. We got to do it now.
Mm-hmm.
So as we were talking about, like, there was kind of nothing happening on the budget for like long stretches of the month of June. Their budget deadline is June 30th. But as we were talking about at the time, it's kind of a soft deadline because not that much will change as far as they do, you know, pass a budget soon. Right. I wonder where was the urgency with getting this $1 billion for the weeks beforehand? Because all of a sudden it emerges that we got to do it. And did they know about this? This provision in the big beautiful bill? Were they just kind of sitting there hoping that it would get voted out?
Did DVO get a last minute heads up from somebody?
Was there? I mean, who knows? Like, and you know, as they were voting on the, like, I know that in the Wisconsin state legislature, they were following along with what was happening federally. And like, that's why Evers was there at 1:30 in the morning to sign the budget. But what I question is just like, there seemed like this larger lack of urgency. And if this Medicaid funding issue was an issue throughout the whole negotiations, like, why the lack of urgency the whole time from the governor's office, from the Republicans who wanted this funding and wanted to make this change apparently in the final stretch here? Why no urgency? All of a sudden it's the biggest issue and we have to do it now, but there was no urgency and nobody talking about it publicly for like weeks and months before that.
I mean, that would definitely be a bargaining chip that the Senate Assembly Democrats as well as the governor could have used to gin up support from the people to say we need to get this done. I mean, him saying this in this article made me go, wait, what? Wait a minute. What are you talking about? Like, why didn't you say something? Why didn't anyone say something? I don't know. Like, we weren't making this. This was not a front of house thing. This was not something we were talking about on a right. Because the other question I have, and I posed it earlier, which was, you know, it gives $1 billion additional dollars to Badger Care. But if that $1 billion is coming from the government, that means that we as the Assembly and Senate have to accept it. Am I correct? From the government, which is something we don't do. We haven't expanded Medicaid for Obamacare. We haven't expanded Medicaid for new moms. Why would we take $1 billion from the federal government to expand our Badger Care if we are not in the habit of doing it in the first place? So until we say yes to it, if this in fact is the case, then it is nothing more than an offer on the table. And Derek Van Orden's words are even more hollow.
And wouldn't that create a perfect time to raise that issue as well? It's just like a perfect opening to say, hey, if you're willing to take the federal money for this,
why
not take it for the Medicaid expansion, which is something Tony Evers ran on in 2018, ran on again in 2022, and has not been able to deliver on because Robin Voss is so far beyond dug in on this issue. But like at the end of the day, you got to use the opportunities that are presented to you and try and make that change. So whether it was Medicaid expansion, whether it is, you know, the postpartum extension for new moms to cover for 12 months, that has majority support, had majority support in the Senate.
For like, a long
time.
Why
not use that as a way to raise that issue? You know, I know Evers had outlined kind of three key issues that they wanted to move on with the budget: K-12 education, childcare, and UW system funding. How much we've all been talking about Medicaid and how it relates to the Big Beautiful Bill and all of these different things. Like, why not bring that issue up more?
Much sooner.
much sooner.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Dan Schaefer. He is Civic Media's political editor, as well as the founder of the multi-award winning Recombobulation Area. And he is recombobulating early this week and a lot. Like, he's doing double duty. And the other thing, too, that was in that statement from him was there is also $500 million plus up for rural health care. I want to know more about that because that ties in directly to the story that came out this past weekend, I think it was on Sunday or Monday, that said that Derek Van Norton has been talking to Tony Evers about saving rural hospitals. Well, again, if this was such an important thing, why wasn't Derek Van Norton standing at the top of his pulpit and saying, no, we need to make sure that my Western Wisconsin has access to healthcare access to healthcare, hospitals, clinics, when he knew that this big bill for billionaire was going to cut all of that further than it already is. So there's $500 million apparently, but yet he is telling Tony Evers he has to save rural hospitals. That also doesn't make sense to me.
So there's a provision they put into the big brutal bill in the 11th hour there, because they were recognizing that these deep cuts to Medicaid were going to be a disaster for rural healthcare, because it's just the economics don't work for having hospitals in rural areas. And so the bill added an amendment that had a $50 billion fund called the Rural Health Transformation Program.
Okay. All right.
And so I think that is what Van Norden is referring to there, is having some sort of access. But it's like this classic Trumpian type of policy where it's just like, hey, I'm going to decimate, I'm going to raise these tariffs that are going to decimate, you know, agriculture exports. I'm going to and then throw some money to farmers or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of the same thing where I'm just like, oh, I'm going to destroy this thing. But here's a bunch of money to try to mitigate.
Take some of the sting out of
my own policies. Sting of my own policies.
But I have to wonder also if DVO isn't feeling some heat and thinking, geez, this isn't going quite the way we all thought it was going to go, and people aren't embracing this, so I need to do something that goes, like, look, I really do care. Mm-hmm. See, I really care.
But and that the thing is, instead of standing up and saying once again, we understand that the bill was not advantageous for everybody or whatever, and I'm not asking to take fault, blame, or, you know, responsibility for his yes vote, but this statement he made isn't being made as a PS to the bill. It's being made at these protesters. He wouldn't have said this had the protesters not shown up, but that's what he does. He reacts. He doesn't plan ahead. And that's what this whole thing is. It's not planning ahead.
We are recombobulating with Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the Recombobulation Area. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Text in the word SCORE. Free Ticket Fridays continues.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Caliente on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Shows are going on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, Matt Nair on Air and Todd Alba teaming up and hitting the road. Our summer tour includes stops next Wednesday. We're going to broadcast from the EAA Museum in Oshkosh.
Mm-hmm.
On Thursday, we are going to broadcast from an art gallery.
Yes.
In Butternut.
Butternut.
And on Friday, we will be in Hayward at The Lot.
The Lot, yes, indeed. It's a cool little artist space.
It is a hot artist space in Hayward. If you're in the area, we would love to meet you. Come on out. Broadcasting live, our show from 9 to 11, Todd's show from 2 to 4. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're really looking forward to singing show tunes in the car as we travel from space to space.
Oh, that's going to be, I wish I could hear all of that. You've got to have a live stream.
We will.
Like an Instagram live of you guys singing in the car.
Show tunes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're me.
How did you get banned on Instagram? Show tunes.
So join us next week as we hit the road. Matt Nair on Air and the Todd Alba Show next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, is here to break down all of the most recent news. We were talking about the budget, which we finally have.
We finally have a budget. It came together in a discombobulating week.
In the middle of the night.
And that's why we've got to recombobulate this week.
But seriously, and the news cycle works so quickly now that things just get lost. So some of the other big things in the budget bill, especially about childcare.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk a little bit about some of what ended up in there. So I think, you know, it was very exciting to see that Republicans were finally willing to do something on childcare because that seemed like such a main sticking point in the negotiations. And the governor, I've criticized other aspects of how they've approached the budget. I think childcare in particular is one that they have really done a good job on advocating for repeatedly. But I think some of what resulted in the budget was, you know, again, it's this compromise, right? So they have, I think, more than $100 million that's going to be able to continue payments for childcare accounts. They're kind of using some creative accounting here. It's not like some new money. It's like interest from ARPA funds and whatever that they're redirecting. And it's confusing and complicated.
But it only lasts for a year.
But it basically extends. Yeah. So it extends the equivalent of childcare accounts for one more year. And then there, you know, I think we've had this conversation about how childcare, Democrats have wanted to just like continue childcare accounts and have these direct payments and continue the pilot program that has been proving to work. And Republicans, as they often do with a lot of things, they're just like, oh, we just need to deregulate. We just need to
Let's have more 16-year-olds in there. Come on.
And that ended up in the budget. And so a couple of the things that ended up there that I think childcare providers are not thrilled with is that there is a program in there to increase the number of children a single staff member can oversee in the classroom from 4 to 7. And so I think that it's already a really hard job and it doesn't pay well.
No,
and now you're going to have an even more difficult job.
It doesn't pay well.
Right. And so this doesn't really move the needle on those, you know, the direct payments will keep places open for another year. I don't think it's going to move the needle on needing to address wages in that industry, which is such the key issue. And then there is another piece of it that allows for 16-year-olds to serve as assistant teachers. And so like there is like a lot of the kind of stuff that we talked about and didn't really like childcare that ended up as part of this too. So when you're hearing, hey, historic investments in childcare, well, historic investment in childcare would have been $1 from general purpose revenue in the state because we've just never committed anything to it in Wisconsin. So like, oh, historic gains. Well, historic from zero is
still
anything
historic.
Is historic when it's from zero.
Right.
And that's what we talked about. That's what we've brought up many times when Robin Voss likes to pat himself on the back saying we've made the biggest investment into education in a generation. I'm like, yeah, that's up from zero, bro. That's a huge investment when it's nothing.
Right.
And the other thing too is the fact that, you know, I think one of the things that we talking about this topic need to really put into our vocabulary or make part of the discussion that when we say childcare, we're not talking about daycare. We're not talking about babysitting. We're talking about education for children.
These are actual programs.
These are programs that are trying to engage the brain of children at their most
developmentally
most it takes in that information so well. that this isn't just dropping your kids off at the babysitter. This is actual school you're paying for.
They're reading with kids. They're learning shapes and colors. All those like basic things.
This is not, and that needs to be part of that conversation, because I really think when we say childcare, people just equate it to babysitting.
I agree with you. And that's why when we talked to
Trisha Peterson,
Trisha last week, who is works with Corinne Hendrickson, and we've talked about this a lot. But yeah, I do think that there is this assumption that is, how hard can it be? You got seven, 5-year-olds running around your house for 8 hours and they play. That's not what we're talking about. No, we are talking about much more structured, much more targeted educational activities for these kids to get them ready to learn when they go to school.
And you know, it's just like having kids who've been in childcare for a time, like the people who are working there become like almost an extension of your family because your kids spend so much time with them.
Sure.
And it's just, the fact that I think average wages because of childcare counts went up, but it's still like kind of at what minimum wage should be type of levels. It's around $15 an hour. Yeah. Like, I talked to Corinne Hendrickson on a number of occasions about this, and she was just like, my, 17-year-old or whatever is like making more at Culver's or Quick Trip than some of the people that she was hiring at her. Yeah, I don't remember the details, so I don't want to speak for her. But like that's the general idea of it.
They're not trying to make millions off of you. And when they have to raise their prices, it's not because they need a second, because they need a third car or fourth car. It's because they need to take care of these kids. And they made that very clear over and over again.
News. Now they're going to have to take care of more kids.
Yep. Yeah. News is coming up next. Stay with us. Text in the word SCORE using the Civic Media app, SCORE, for that 4-pack of tickets for this Sunday's game. As the crew host Washington, you're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.